Welcome back, everyone, for our third annual pre-Pesach learning program. Our quest today to kick off the Torah with Rav Yossi Zakhatinsky of Kal Mevakshei Hashem, somebody who's inspired many in the five towns, and his words have really resonated with us over prior years. And with no further ado, I'd like to welcome Rav Yossi Zakhatinsky.
Thank you very much. All right. Morning, everybody. Good ever Shchaydash. It's a very nice achana for Pesach. This, it's so nice. 3 years of Chazaka, many more. An increased measure of Hashem. Yerushalayim Arkadosh. Okay, so a little achana for Pesach. It's 10:15. That's it. Okay, Baruch. That's fine. It's okay. All right. So everyone knows that one of the mitzvahs of Leil HaSeder. One of the mitzvahs of Seder night is the Dalet Kaisis, the four cups of wine. And this idea of there being four cups of wine, it's Rudin Chazal, the Mishnah, Mesachis Pesachim talks about this. Al Yivsechulay mi Dalet Kaisis, the Mishnah says, that even Ani Machazer al Pesachim, even a very poor person, has to make sure they fulfill the mitzvahs of Pesach night. And one of the mitzvahs that the Mishnah records that even a poor person has to make sure he fulfills is Dalet Kaisis, is the four cups of wine. Everyone knows it's also well-known medrash. Chazal say that why did Chazal establish four cups of wine? Corresponding to the four languages of redemption, Itzesi, Vatzalti, Ka'alti, V'lakachti, four cups of wine, Dalet Kaisis, everyone's heard of Dalet Kaisis. And what do we say on the four cups of wine? So the first cup is Kiddush, right? The second cup is the Haggadah, right? The third cup is benching. And the fourth cup is Hallel. And the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Pesachim what is the Hallel that we say on the fourth cup. So the Gemara says as follows: Ton Rabbanon, the rabbis taught Revi on the fourth cup of wine, Goymer Elvis Ahal. First, you complete the Hallel that you started on the second cup, right? Because at the end of the Magid, we say the first couple kapitlach of Tehillim of Hallel, and so we complete Hallel on the fourth cup. And the Brisa continues, V'oimer Hallel Gadol. And after completing the regular Hallel that we know that we say, Rosh Chodesh and Yontif and so on, then we continue on in the fourth cup to say what's called Hallel Gadol. What's Hallel Gadol? So the Gemara then talks about different opinions of what Hallel Gadol is. We sort of say everything, which is, you know, Hayd L'Hashem Kitavik and L'Chazdai, Nishmas, the whole deal. So that's what we say in the fourth cup of wine. That's our minig, that's what we do. And again, this is our version of the Gemara, that again, Tan Rabban, the rabbis taught, on the fourth cup, Goymer El Sahal, we complete the Hallel that we started on the second cup, we complete Hallel, and we say, and we continue on the fourth cup, Hallel HaGadol. That's our Gemara. Okay. There is an alternate version of the Gemara in the Rif. The Rif had a different girsa in the Gemara. In the Rif's girsa, it's the following, that there are two separate statements, two separate brises. Brisa number one, on the fourth cup of wine, we say Hallel. What is Hallel on the fourth cup of wine? Goyimrus of Hallel, we say the completion of Hallel that we started on the second cup. New Brisa, according to the Girsa of the Rif, is as follows. Ton Rabbanon, Chamishi, Oimer Olav Hallel Gadol. That on the fifth cup, we say the Hallel Gadol, Hoyle Hashem Kitav Gimchazdai, Nishmas. So, this is Mamash out of nowhere, that according to the Rif, we have this Brisa that tells us that there's not four cups. There's in fact five cups of wine. The four cups of wine, again, the first is Kiddush, the second is Magid, with the first two kapitlach of Tehillim of Hallel, the third one is benching, and the fourth one is the completion of Hallel. And the fifth cup is what we call Hallel Gadol, Nishmas, Hayil Hashem Kitayv, and so on. So it's a fifth cup of wine, all of a sudden it's a Kiddush, never heard of such a thing. So the truth is, all the Rishonim discussed this, on Maseches Pesachim, whenever it gets to this Gemara, the Gemara was on Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph and Pesachim, and the Rif is on that Gemara with his alternate version. So all the Rishonim discussed this, where did this come from, fifth cup, like we never heard of this before. And basically the big question they all ask on the Rif is, we've never heard of this before, having a fifth cup. I mean, and it's not just we've never heard of it, you learn Mishnayos, all the Mishnayos always talk about four cups of wine. Again, like I gave the example before, the Mishnah says a poor person has to make sure he fulfills the mitzvahs of the night, and one of the mitzvahs the Mishnah gives as an example that he has to fulfill is four cups of wine. The four cups correspond to the four languages of Gula. We're becoming a fifth cup all of a sudden. And in fact, more than that, Chazal say that you're not allowed to drink after the four cups of wine. So if you're not allowed to drink after the four cups of wine, what's this fifth cup doing? So the whole thing is very, very difficult. So this is the question that the Rishonim ask on the Rif. Rabbeinu Nissim, the Ran, already on the Rif, brings up these questions. Again, it basically boils down to two questions, which is, we've never heard of such a thing before, the fifth cup of wine. And number two, if anything, the Gemara says you're not allowed to drink after the fourth cup. So, like, what's this fifth cup doing? So the Ran basically says that it must be that even according to the Rif, there's some distinction between the first four cups and this fifth cup. Like, because again, the Rif can't ignore the fact that the Gemara always, and the Mishnayos and Chazal always talk about four cups of wine. So now that you're introducing a fifth cup, it can't be on the same plane as the other four. It's got to be some level different, some separation between the two of them. And so this is how the Ran and most Rishonim present the opinion of the Rif, which is, it's taka true, according to the Rif, there's actually five cups of wine. But the difference between, but there's still some level of separation. How so? This is the usual way how they explain it, is that the first four cups is obligatory. It's obligatory. And the fifth cup is voluntary. It's rishus. And so this is how they sort of wiggle their way out of the questions. When Chazal always talked about four cups of wine, even the Rif agrees that there's a significance of the first four cups by themselves. How so? That they're obligatory. Even though the Rif then introduces this fifth cup of wine, it's still sort of this like sort of, you know, individual category besides the first four, because it's one of the cups of wine. It's taka true. It's a fifth cup, but at least it's not on the same plane as the other four in terms of being voluntary. Or the Ran says maybe different subtle suggestion. Maybe it's not voluntary. Maybe it's mitzvah min hamufcher. It's, you know, if you can, you should, that type of thing. But it's not on the same playing field as the first four cups. And again, he's sort of forced into this, because otherwise you can't just equate all five cups, because then you're basically saying that there are five cups in Pesach night, and we always associate Pesach night with being four cups. So you have to sort of create this line, this barrier between the significance of the first four and the final cup. That's what the Rishonim is saying in the Rif. Now halacha l'maisa. So this is what the Ran would say, that since Chazal instituted this fifth cup as l'chilu or rishus, it's the exception. But you're right, but there is a significant difference between the first four and the final cup. That's what they are forced to say in the opinion of the Rif. Now, halach l'maisa, so obviously we only drink four cups of wine. That's what we're used to. But the Shulchan Aruch does at least use this Rif for the following scenario. Let's say a person drank the four cups of wine, did everything, and they're very thirsty. Somehow they just get thirsty, or they're, you know, super interested in having a little bit more wine Pesach night. So in that type of situation where the person's very thirsty, so then the Shulchan Aruch says, you know what, you can rely on the Rif. And what you would do is say Nishma, say Haidu, without the bracha at the end, and that would allow you, at least according to the Rif, to drink a fifth cup of wine. So again, we don't do that l'chatchila, but in a case where the person's like super thirsty and still not satisfied, so they can rely on the Rif b'di'evet to make this fifth cup of wine, and to say Hal Agadol on the fifth cup, even though you said it on the fourth, because that's our minhag, to say all the Hal on the fourth cup. But if, again, like I said, in a case where the person is very thirsty, you could rely on the Rif and do like that. Okay, that's what the Rishonim say according to, you know, the sugya of the Rif. Okay, the truth is there's another explanation or another mahalach to explain the opinion of the Rif, but I'll get to that in a moment. The truth is, again, we're all familiar that there are four cups of wine, but there is a fifth cup. There is a fifth cup that we all sort of are familiar with, which is what we call the Kosh Eliyo. Kosh Eliyo. So Kosh Eliyo, this idea of pouring a cup, like after you pour your four cups, then what happens? You take like a nice, you know, big becher or whatever is put in the middle of the room, and you pour it Kosh Eliyo. So what's the sin of Kosh Eliyo? So the truth is, in the Gemara, there's no mention of Kosh Eliyo. In Chazal, there's no mention of Kosh Eliyo. It's something that, a minig that arised in, that rose up, truth is, relatively recent history, that, you know, maybe 500 years ago or so, which, you know, for the Jewish people is pretty recent. And so this is a minig that came up, and that we pour this additional cup, Kosh Eliyo. What's the sin of Kosh Eliyo? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Achrayinim, Chuk Yaakov, other Achrayinim, that since at the end of the Seder, we begin to sort of a little bit transition from focusing on just Yitzis Mitzrayim, but we now transition into talking about the Gula Shlema. We understand that Yetzias Mitzrayim was the beginning of redemption, and that redemption is unfolding and will culminate with the coming of Mashiach, Meher V'Yameinu. So in the Seder itself, we sort of have this transition. The first part of the Seder is heavily focused on Pesach. The end of the Seder, all the songs that we say at the end, they're more oriented towards Mashiach. There's sort of a shift that takes place, or a movement towards Yetzias Mitzrayim being seen as the beginning of the final redemption. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, the Minhag developed that as a sign of our hope and our confidence in the coming of Mashiach, so we pour the Kais Eliyahu. So Kais Yeshua says, like you pour a cup as if it's like Mamash Esudas Hayda, celebrating the Mashiach is already here. So to show that confidence and that hopefulness of the Jewish people that Mashiach is right around the corner, so we pour the Kais Eliyahu at that time. That's the simple pshat of the meaning of Kais Eliyahu. Okay, but the truth is, having the background of the opinion of the Rif, that there is a fifth cup of wine that's supposed to be said with Halagadol, there's another way to explain halachically the significance of Kais Eliyahu, and that's based on the opinion of the Rambam in his interpretation of the Rif. See, in all the Rishonim that I mentioned until now, we're making an assumption. Their assumption in the opinion of the Rif was that just as we drink the four cups of wine, we also drink a fifth cup of wine. And because of that, they're like asking this unbelievable thing, whoever heard of five cups? And so then they have to come up with this solution, is that, yeah, we drink five cups of wine according to the Rif, but there's some difference. The first four are obligatory, the fifth cup is voluntary, or it's mitzvah min hamufchar if you can. They try to make some sort of subtle difference between the two, but it's all based on an assumption, which is that when the Gemara according to the Rif said, Tan Rabban, the rabbis taught, Chamishi, then the fifth cup, we say Hal Gadol, it means, and drink it. But that's not the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam also goes with the Girsa of the Rif, and the Rambam also holds that there's a fifth cup of wine that we say Hala Gadol on. But again, we all know in the Rambam you have to be very careful with the language of the Rambam, and there's a subtle difference between how the Rambam describes the procedure of the fifth cup versus the procedure of the first four. With every other cup, so the Rambam's formula is as follows: the first cup you pour, you make Kiddush, and you drink it. The Rambam says this openly. The second cup you pour, you say the Haggadah, you make Bar Peregufin, and you drink it. The third cup you bench and you drink it. The fourth cup you say Hal, you complete the Hallel, that you started, and you drink it. Now comes the Rambam Perches Halacha Yud and Hilchas Chametz and Matzah, introduces us to the fifth cup, but with a slight difference. Says the Rambam, Yesh Loi Limzai Kais Chamishi, you should pour a fifth cup. Veloimer olav hal hagadol, and to say hal hagadol, which is haydu Hashem kitayv and nishmas and so on, and that's it. The Rambam doesn't add the sentence that he always said with the other previous cups, which is and drink it. The indication being is that the Rambam was bothered with the same question that the other Rishonim were bothered by, which is a fifth cup. Whoever heard of a fifth cup? There's four cups of wine. What's the fifth cup? You're not supposed to drink after the four cups of wine. Says the Rambam, of course you're not supposed to drink after the four cups of wine. So what's the fifth cup? Who says you're supposed to drink the fifth cup? Says the Rambam, the fifth cup is you pour a cup of wine and you say in the presence of that cup of wine, Hala Gadol, and that's the chiv. There's no chiv to drink it. And that solves the problem. That's a clear demarcation between, there's a difference between the four cups of wine and the fifth cup. The four cups is a chiv to drink, and the fifth cup is just a chiv to say certain things over that cup. Now, even though, in the history of the Jewish people, the halacha was never, we never assumed like the Rif and so on. But once this minhag developed of having Kais Eliyahu, well, now it has a halachic basis as well. Because if you think about it, through that cup sitting at the center of the table and everyone's sitting around, so that could be the way to fulfill the fifth cup of wine according to the Rif in the interpretation of the Rambam. So in other words, everyone's sitting ready for the fourth cup. Everyone pours the fourth cup. And at the same time, we pour a little bit after, whatever, you pour the fifth cup of wine. Now, there's two multiple things going on over here. When it comes to completing the Hallel, that we would say is Mesiaches, is related to the fourth cup that you're holding, that you have in front of you. And at the same time, when you're saying Hal HaGadol, so we always think of it being associated with the fourth cup that you're holding, and that's also true, because according to most Rishonim, the entire Hallel, including Hal HaGadol, has to be said over the fourth cup. But since there is the opinion of the Rif, as the Rambam interprets it, which is that we divide it, that the regular hal, the completion of hal, is on the fourth cup, but hal agadol is on the fifth cup, but that fifth cup you don't have to drink. You just have to say it in the presence of the fifth cup. So that's what we do with Koshel Yo. So Koshel Yo functions in halacha in two ways. On the one hand, it's certainly true, it's a symbol of our confidence and hope that Mashiach is right around the corner. That's true. But halachically speaking, it also functions as the fifth cup of wine according to the Rif. That according to the, in the Rambam's interpretation, you don't have to drink it, you just have to say hal gadol on it. So even though you have now two cups in front of you, you have the fourth cup that you're going to drink soon, and the fifth cup that's sitting on the table, that doesn't bother us, and we can sort of divide it up. That in the world, the worldview of the Rif and the Rambam, the first part of hal that you're saying is on your fourth cup, and the hal gadol that you're saying is related to the fifth cup that's sitting in the center of the table. And even though not everyone has it, that's not a problem. It's a problem if you had to drink the fifth cup, then each person needs their own cup. But if we're not drinking it anyway, so why can't we all share one? It's not a problem. So that's what the halacha is going to be. And so this is what emerges, is that this Koshel Yo in halacha, there's two different aspects of the Koshel Yo. Again, on the one aspect, it's a minig that developed as an expression of our hope that Mashiach is right around the corner. But also, on the other hand, it's also a way of fulfilling the halacha of the fifth cup according to the Rif with the interpretation of the Rambam. Follow? It's good? Okay. So it's like this. Whenever, you know, I've mentioned this many times before, is that Torah is comprised of two parts. Just as a person is comprised of two parts, which is a body and a soul, Torah is also comprised of two parts, a body and a soul. The body of Torah is the halacha, what you have to do, what you have to say, and so on. And the soul of Torah is a message in Avodas Hashem, a message in Hashem communicating Himself to us through that body. And you know, the nature of body and soul is that when a body is by itself, it automatically falls apart, right? Meaning a body by itself is made of many, many different parts. You know, and the body by itself, like, well, when a neshama leaves the body, then it returns to its natural state, which is in a million pieces. However, the nature of the neshama is to keep those pieces together. So in other words, just as it is physically, that a body by itself is made of distinct and separate components, but the nature of neshama is to unify those components, so too it is with Torah. Whereas when a person focuses exclusively on the nigla, on the revealed, on the halach, on the body of Torah, what emerges are different components, two dinim, three dinim, five dinim, whatever it is. The nature of neshama, when neshama is introduced into that system, it pulls those pieces together and unifies it. So that's what we're going to do now for the next few minutes. So what we've given until now is an example of Koshel Yo, the Koshel Yo in terms of the body of Koshel. What's the body of Koshel Yo? Two distinct parts. One hand, it's an expression of our hopefulness in the coming of Mashiach. And the other hand, fulfilling the fifth cup according to the Rif and the Rambam. Those are two separate, two dinim. But now what we're going to see is, let's introduce a little bit of the pnimius, a little bit of the soul, of the inyan of Koshel Yo, and we'll see how those two separate components complement each other and become one. Okay, so you know, Pesach night, you know, who knows four, you know. I don't know if it's, the numbers are significant. Whenever... And don't get me wrong, what I'm about to say, I appreciate the irony of it, so you'll understand what I mean. The number four is always associated in the Svarim Kedushin. Whenever you see the number four, it goes to one thing, which is the four letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. I know we think Pesach Night, the four Imais, that's also related to Yud Kei Vav Kei, but that's not for now. The four letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei correspond, the Svarim Kedushin talk about this, and all the Svarim that talk about Pesach night, if they're talking about Dalet Kaisis, they're going to mention this idea, is that the Dalet Kaisis correspond to the four letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay, there's different ways how to go about it. Is it in Yud Kei Vav Kei order? Is it in reverse order? But it's Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now, if that's the model of the four, now I have to explain what that means soon. We'll get there. But this idea of the four cups corresponding to Yud Kei Vav Kei, the question is, so where does that leave room for a fifth cup? Which is, we usually assume it's only four cup, but we just introduced Hal Pi Halacha, the Rambam, the Rif, and so on. There's a fifth, what's the fifth cup? So those that are a little bit familiar with the Svarim, you'll know is that although there are four letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei, but that letter Yud, which is the first of the highest letter of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that letter Yud in the Svarim is always broken down into really two components. There's the body of the Yud, But then there's what's called kutza shel yud, the kutza shel yud. It's the thorn of the yud, the apex of the yud. Like if you could imagine a yud as it is in the Sefer Torah, on the corner of it, there's a little bit of like a crown, almost like a thorn, almost as if, using your imagination, it's almost as if the yud is sort of emanating from some other mysterious place that's invisible. Almost as if it's like coming from this higher source. Kutzei shel yud. And in the Sarmak Da'ishim, we find that although on the one hand, looking at the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei in its simple, most external form, it's only four, but with a deeper lens, one sees in truth that there are five components to Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Therefore, in this model, the fifth cup of wine, according to the Rif and the Rambam, or Kei Shel Yod, the way we're saying it right now, will correspond to Kutzei Shel Yud, to the crown, the apex of the Yud. Okay. What am I talking about? What does this have anything to do with anything? So it's like this. We know the Pasuk says in Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, B'Tzelem Elokim Bara Eisam, that the Rebbeinu Hashem created us k'viyochel in his image, which means many things. But one thing that it means is that just as k'viyochel, the Rebbeinu Shloim expresses himself in the deepest of ways, when the Rebbeinu Hashem wants to introduce himself, not what he does, but who he is, k'viyochel, we have the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. That's what we call the Shem Ha'etzem, the essential name. Not a name. It's not a name that describes what God does for a living. We have other names like that, Kel, Shakai, Tzvokai, Elokim, Adnai. Those are descriptions of what Hashem does for a living. He's a creator. He takes care of us. He's the master, and so on. But when Hashem wants to say, "But what's my name? Forget what I do. Who am I?" K'viyochel. That's the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. So just if we are created K'viyochel in Hashem's image, it means that just as Hashem expresses himself through those letters, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which again, externally is four, but on a deeper level is really comprised of five components, so too the Jewish soul, which is in the image of Hashem, is also going to have four components, or on a deeper level, a fifth component. What are the four components or five components of a Jewish soul? So again, we're not only just a few minutes over here, so we're not going to go through this in depth. But maybe some of you are familiar with the terminology. So the four or five components of the Jewish soul working bottom up, lowest level to highest, most sublime, is nefesh. That will correspond if you have a blackboard or something in your head. The nefesh corresponds to the final hey, Hashem's name. Then there's ruach, that's the vav. Neshama, that's the first hey. Chaya, that's the yud. So those are the four components that the Jewish soul has corresponding to what? To Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya. Now those four components of the Jewish soul corresponding to the four basic letters of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, those parts of our soul give us the strength and the ability. They sort of are associated with different aspects of what we do to be alive. So, for example, just very, very quickly, nefesh would be associated with our ability to simply be alive, your ability to breathe and to be conscious and to be alive. That's from your nefesh. Ruach, which is, again, one step up, that's corresponding to your emotional, your ability to emote and to express emotions, to be a feeling creature. The neshama, the next part of the soul, the third level, corresponds to your ability to contemplate and to deduce and to think. The fourth level, called chaya, has to do with your ability to be sensitive to spiritual matters. Not just to be able to think and to articulate and to do math equations, but to be sensitive, to have a soulful sensitivity. That's chaya. And those four levels correspond to the four letters of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And those are the four cups of wine. But then there's the fifth cup. The fifth cup corresponds to Kutzei Shel Yud, to the apex of the Yud. The apex of the Yud in the soul language is called Yechida. Yechida. What's Yechida? Yechida is the most subtle, the most mysterious, but the most essential. Yechida in the Sarmak Da'ishim is associated with that part of the Jewish soul which is not practical. It's not so much focused on it. The Yechida's function is not to give you the ability to walk around. Yechida's function is not to give you the ability to feel or to think or to be sensitive spiritually. The function of the Yechida is just the pure essential attachment that we have with God, or what's called by the Svarim the chelak lekami mal mamish, the spark of divinity that's within a Jew, that is the essence of a Jew. It's behind all the things that we do, feelings that we emote, thoughts that we have, sensitivities that we have. Behind all of that is that essential essence that's called Yechida, which gives the Jewish person his most deepest essential identity, which is just being an extension of God, being Hashem's emissary in this world. That's what Yechida means. That's the Kutsa Shel Yud. That's why in the letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei, it doesn't make itself known so much, because it doesn't express itself in any particular way. It's behind the scenes of everything a Jew should be doing. There is one example that the Svarim bring down of when the Yechida Shebenefesh, the Yechida, is like out in the open, and that's at a moment of Mesiris Nefesh. When a Jew, God forbid, is put under a situation of Yoharig Valyavar. So then we find historically, right, it's well documented that you had Jews that were not necessarily the frumest of the frum, not necessarily the biggest scholars and so on, but at that moment of Mesiris Nefesh, they'll give up anything. Where is that coming from? So the Tzaddikim have taught that that's not coming from Nefesh, it's not coming from Ruach, it's not coming from Nesham, it's not coming from Chai either, it's coming from Yechida. That essential essence of a Jew, that inability to disconnect himself from who he is in the truest of senses, which is a piece of God, that expressed itself in full with a situation of Mesiris Nefesh. So going back to our model, the fifth cup of wine therefore will correspond to what? Not to Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, and Chaya. It corresponds to Yechid Shebe Nefesh. And this is why in the language, in the world of the Rif and the Rambam, there's something mysterious about the fifth cup. There's something less tangible about the fifth cup. Every other cup you drink, you make it, you can taste it, you can feel it, it becomes a part of you, make a bracha on it. All of a sudden the fifth cup, says the Rif in the way the Rambam interprets it, don't drink it, just have it sit there and say Hala Gadol. Why? Why wouldn't Chazal institute to drink it? What's the difference? The answer is because it corresponds to the Yechida. Every cup of wine of the Seder night is not just, it's not just corresponding, it's a boost, it's an adrenaline shot to one of those parts of the soul. The Yechida, by its very definition, is intangible, and it has to be that way. It's supposed to be that way. It's not supposed to be concrete and in such a way. This is why even when we fulfill the opinion of the Rif and the Rambam, it's hidden behind the scenes of the fourth cup. So that's not just a way, like, you know, that when you pour the fourth cup of wine, at the same time you pour the fifth cup, and no one even knows that it's the fifth cup. We just go, kash lo yo. Why are we so hot? Why not be obvious about it? The answer is because that's the nature of Yechida. The nature of Yechida is that it's mysterious, that it's behind the scenes. It doesn't express itself in any one particular thing. Everything a Jew does, whether he walks around, feels, thinks, is sensitive, learns, davens, behind the scenes of all of that is the essential essence of Yechida Shebe Nefesh, that a Jew is bound to Elikus, and that's who we are in our essence. Therefore, it's both, the fifth cup, therefore both must be a intangible cup, and it also must remain sort of hidden behind the scenes, because that's reflecting the nature of Yechida Shebe Nefesh. So this idea of the fifth cup of wine, again, as we're saying, corresponds to this quality of Yechida Shebe Nefesh. Once we've identified that the fifth cup corresponds to this quality, this reality of the soul that's called Yechida Shebe Nefesh, now we can see how clearly it's deeply attached to the other side of Kosh Elyo, which is our confidence and hope in the coming of Mashiach. Why? So there's a basic question you could ask. So you pour the fifth cup of wine, Kosh Elyo, it's like, oh, Mashiach, Mamash around the corner. Really? Have any of you ever heard of Yerida Sadoris? There's such a thing as the generation is getting worse and worse, right? Situation is getting bleaker and bleaker. The general power of this Jewish soul becoming less and less potent. We're not as big daveners as we used to be. We're not as big learners as we used to be. So all of a sudden, Pesach night, we pour the Kosh Elyo. Andrew is confident. It's like, Mom, it's just push. She's around the corner. Really? Who said? How are you so confident? If anything, if you look at yourself and your worthiness, and not just you, the generation's worthiness, it seems to be getting worse and worse. Where's the confidence coming from? The answer is the only reason and the only way for us to be confident in the coming of Mashiach, which is the one side of Kosh Elyo to express that confidence, is only because we also believe in Yechida Shebe Nefesh, which is the other side of Kosh Elyo. There's a statement that Reb Tzadik HaKohen in Parshas Vayechi and Pri Tzadik It's a well-known statement. He brings this down in a few places, but at the headquarters is in Parshas Vayechi, in the first piece. He brings down, he makes a comment that in Parshas Vayechi, Chazal say that the last years of Yaakov Avinu in Egypt were like his best years. So Rav Tzadik says, Mais Avis, similar bana, which means that just as Yaakov Avinu personally experienced his most transcendent years at the very, very end, so too, says Rav Tzadik, at the end of time, the Jewish people are going to have their best years. Ask yourself, like, well, best years, what do you mean? You read the Sadaris, things are getting worse. So he quotes a Torah from the Rebbe Rabuna from Shescha. And his language is as follows. Shal yimas levenu, our heart shouldn't melt. We shouldn't become despondent and give up. Because even though, said the Rebbe Rabuna from Shescha, even though the general collective energies of the soul, nefesh, ruach, nesham, and chaya, become weaker as the generations go on. The first cups of wine get weaker, so to speak. But said Rabbi from Shischa, Hanakuda Shebelev, the point of the heart, Nitar Bakal Darva Darva Yoiser, becomes more purified and stronger as the generations go on. What's this Nakuda Shebelev? What's the point of the heart? It means Yechida, Yechida Shebenefesh. Notice, comes Rabbi from Shischa Chiddush, that even though there's a phenomenon of Yisad Dairis, that's only true with the first four qualities of Nefesh, Ruach, Nesham, and Chaya. Yechidah Shebenefesh becomes increasingly stronger with as generations go on. Where do you see that? So I'll give you an example. You know, Rav Tzadik was a Kayan by the Chassidim. Rav Tzadik is called the Kayan HaGadol. He's called the Kayan HaGadol. So there was another great Kayan that also lived at the same time, Rav Kook. So Rav Kook, there's a letter in the letters of Rav Kook. It's a half of a Feledika letter. There was a certain Rav, I'm not going to say who, there's a certain Rav whose son was Nebuch struggling with Yiddishkeit, to say the least, at that time. And so this person, again, we're talking about the late 1800s. So this person sent a letter to Rav Kook asking, like, what do I do? Like, should I disconnect, disassociate from my son or not? I mean, these are things nowadays we take for granted, of course, not to do that. But at the time, that was the thought. Because that was the model always. The model always in history was, a Jew is, shmad, goes off the derech, so he's now excommunicated and shunned. Because we're always afraid that any connection to people like that is going to bring the community down. So the father asked Rav Kook, is that what I'm supposed to do also? Says Rav Kook, absolutely not. And says Rav Kook, I'm not saying that the early generations were wrong with that approach, but I'm saying no longer is that the approach now. Why? So says Rav Kook, the same idea from Rabbuna from Shischa. Because even though there's such a thing as Yerida Sadaris, the Yechidah Shebenefesh is actually getting stronger. And says Rav Kook, and where do you see that? How does that strength of the Yechidah Shebenefesh, of the Chayel Galakami Mal Mamish, where do you see its strength getting better and better? Says Rav Kook, in the Jewish people's resiliency, in the ability of a Jew to bounce back from a failure. The more, he says, in the earlier generations, when a person got stuck in Apikarsis and Kfira, it was like, come on, impossible to get out of it. But now, he says, nowadays, despite the fact that generally we're a lot weaker and we fall more often, but at the end of the day, the Jewish person's ability to bounce off of it, to bounce back from that, just go to the mikveh and start over again, is that's a strength that we never had before. And says Rav Kook, that's coming from Yechidah Shebenefesh. So this is what we see, again, going back. So we had an halacha, the body of the fifth Kayish Eliyahu, two components. The Kayish Eliyahu in terms of its hopefulness in Mashiach, and the other component of it being fulfilling the fifth cup of wine, according to the Rif and the Rambam. In the body, two separate components. One has nothing to do with the other. But now that we introduce the neshama of what the four cups of wine are b'chalal about, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, and now we know that the fifth cup is Kutzah Shel Yud, Yechidah Shebenefesh, and the Yechidah Shebenefesh is going with the opposite approach of Yerida Sadaris, that actually is getting stronger as time goes on, then once we have a connection to that through the fifth cup of wine, that itself gives us the hope and the confidence that Mashiach is right around their corner, because it's coming from the Yechidah Shebenefesh. Shem Shem bless us, Taka, we should be zechut to feel that and to know that and to express the Yechidah Shebenefesh in the most beautiful of ways with our attachment to Elikus, and Bezer Hashem, be able to see with our own eyes, Ki ayin bayin yir b'shuva shem l'tzim brachim v'yis gal tzedek m'hir v'meinu amen. Yashikaych everybody. Yachal kosher v'sameach.